You've asked a doctor, why is this happening to me? And the answer is, we don't know. We want you to remember that doesn't have to be the end of the line. Our mission here on When Doctors Say We Don't Know is to learn how to use all types of medicines so we can stop thinking the answer is the diagnosis. You have a choice to go beyond. This is an inclusive conversation. You'll hear insights from doctors, tips from practitioners, and stories from people just like you who are frustrated with the status quo of the health industry. Listen to how they found ways to cross the dividing line and reach out for true health beyond diagnosis. Because sometimes what we've been taught is healthcare is keeping us sick. Welcome to the show. My name is Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, and I'll be your host for today's podcast. When Doctors Say We Don't Know is an inclusive conversation, and so many are craving to share their stories and experiences. Today's guest is no exception. Today's honored guest is Jennifer Bloom. She is a soul abundance guide, energy healer, and master soul language practitioner. She teaches people how to communicate directly with their soul. That's so amazing. So they can co-create a flow of soul-based abundance in whatever form they want. That sounds like a tall order, but I think you could do it. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Eva. I am delighted to be here.
Well, we're going to have a fun conversation, but I always ask, you know, this is all about the mystery. When we get in front of a doctor and we say, why is this going on? Whatever we're experiencing, have you ever been faced with that answer?
Yes, multiple times, unfortunately, I have to say.
Goodness.
You know, and actually the time that I'm thinking of, it really was a series of events leading to, it was all the same under cause, right? I started off in the doctor's office because I'd wake up in the middle of the night with my heart pounding and, mm-hmm. Oh, let's put you on a monitor. And, oh, you're fine. Like, well, I'm not fine, right? All then led into, I had a 12-hour period with just really intense stomach pain, like just beyond anything I'd ever felt, and got into the emergency room and, you know, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Well, we're 99% sure you didn't have a heart attack, but let's do all the testing, right? I had so many scans. It was ridiculous. All without medical insurance, let me tell you. That's a story for another day, but
yes.
You know, right. And
yes.
Then, but at the end of the day, you know, and then of course to the cardiologist 6 or 8 weeks later, because that's when they could schedule me. Oh, you're fine. But nobody ever said, okay, this intense pain that you're having, they never knew what that was, right? That nobody could ever fix that. And it took a journey on my part to ultimately get to the cause of that, through somebody who was actually listening to what I was saying, right? Instead of sort of being, you know, and I know I don't want to knock Western medicine. There's a number of things they do very
yes.
well, but this
yes.
is not one of them. Not one of them.
Well, pain, it can be so, it's subjective, first of all. You know, they give you the whole scale with the, you know, when you're in the hospital or even in the office, and they give you the little pictures of the face that goes from really, really sad and, you know, crying all the way to happy and glad, you know, it's supposed to be 1 to 10. So it's like, everybody doesn't measure it the same. And if they can't pinpoint an exact, like, acute, you've been cut, stabbed, you know, a steering wheel is poking into you, like anything that actually causes, like you would in an accident, right? It's really hard to figure out where it's coming from. So where did you find that yours came from?
So it was one of the symptoms of complete and total adrenal burnout.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain in the abdomen. We're talking
pain in the abdomen. My whole body was just shutting down, basically. And it turns out all the heart issues that I had had over the years, and I had another heart issue that took me in a ride to the hospital where, again, everything was fine. All of that was just was a symptom of this massive of crisis that my body was in. And it took an acupuncturist where I said, hey, you know what? My periods are weird. They go for 3 days and then they stop for a day and then they go for another couple of days.
Yeah.
She dug in and did the research. And she's like, hey, you might want to check out, you know, this particular resource. And it's like, and I read, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly me. You know, it's just incredible what happens when somebody actually listens, you know, even though you can't quantify that pain level, you can listen to the bigger picture, right? It's like taking three giant steps back and hearing what's important instead of the actual individual, you know, this is the this is the pain point in my body.
So, well, so then the research that you found, what was it? I mean, beyond self-diagnosis, what?
Well, no, so it led me to a practitioner. I don't know if you want me to say the name of the practitioner, but it's Dr. Lam, L-A-M, is, and he is one of the preeminent people who works with adrenal crisis. And so I went to him, we did a series of tests, and I couldn't even get through the first three tests. You know, you had to eat a certain food, I think it was walnuts, and then there was a salt test. And I'm like, I can't even do these. And they're like, oh yeah, we know what's going on here. They score, I think it's 1 through 4, as far as 1 is the best, 4 is the worst in terms of adrenal crisis. And I was like a 3B, you know, and 4 is heart failure.
Oh, so, wow, okay, no, that's not good.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately through a series of their work and a wonderful energy healer with homeopathy, everything's back online again.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. It took, you know, that's a fast forward, but everything, I have energy again, I'm living again, my heart's fine, I have no more belly pain, I no longer need to nap, you know, like 8 of the 12 hours of the working day. So
that's, you know, as the adrenals go and the thyroid and the glands in general, I've noticed that the hormones, they tell us a story, they tell us what's going on, your body was talking to you. And it's interesting how closely related they are. Not, you know, when you have adrenal burnout, it was affecting your menstrual cycle, which is often governed by the thyroid, which that's all people, do people put that together normally? Did you find that was a story that people, as you were doing this research, was that open? Was that available to you?
Yes. Once I got to the people who looked at the body holistically, then that the understanding that the thyroid then was absolutely involved, which is, you know, why those symptoms were showing up. And it's one of the ways they use to grade the level of adrenal issue. Again, people who are looking at it from that holistic point of view, because, you know, I could have gone in and had testing and, you know, nothing ever showed up on my labs. And
so yet, they would say within normal range, right?
That exactly. Kind of everything. Yeah. My thyroid was always within normal range. Yeah, it was a little bit on the low side, but there were times I even tried, you know, I went in, I had a uterine biopsy, right? And I was asking for a specific test, and the doctor's like, well, why is this person worried about it? You know, I was referring to he was a naturopath actually, right? The naturopath was asking me questions. I went to get tests and the doctor basically refused to do the test because he didn't understand the reasoning behind it, you know? So it's kind of a frustrating road, but again, once I got to the people who could look holistically, you know, then everything really made sense.
Well, I'm thinking as I'm listening to the story, isn't it a good idea to go? I mean, you went to the emergency room just to find out if this was a life-threatening condition, according to them.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I think too, that eased my mind, right? Yes. Like, okay, Jennifer, you're not dying.
Right.
Which of course was on my mind, didn't really want 42 or whatever age it was at that point to be the end.
Right.
And so I was trying to be, in quotes, smart about it and wearing the Holter monitor when there was things going on with my heart. I do think that there's a reason to go through it. And it would be nice if once those tests were completed and okay, that then there's the follow-up that says, okay, now wait a minute. We've done XYZ because of either the ABC thing you said. However, we didn't come up with anything. So let's go one layer deeper.
Right.
And of course, maybe that's asking too much of Western medicine, right? I mean, when you walk into Western medicine, they do what they know how to do. But
it's knowing your resources is the other half of it. And that can be very frustrating when you don't know what the next step is. It's a whole lot of I don't know-ness.
So true. Yeah. So true. Yeah.
So that the resource thing is really what this show is all about. Be able to say, all right, if you've had this situation going on.
Yes,
You might want to try this kind of practitioner.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of the things I'm very grateful for is my health and wellness. I have a health and wellness counselor. It's a certificate program that comes after you do a professional degree. And it was very much about holistic and alternative medicine. And I was so grateful to have that knowledge to be able to say, okay, Western medicine hasn't, you know, I've done test X, you know, done all these tests. It's time to go to the acupuncturist, right? It's time to, and the acupuncturist then led me to this more holistic, he's a physician, he's Chinese medicine. So I think he actually has a Western MD though as well, but is following the road of all of this adrenal work, right? So I at least had a place to start in the with the acupuncturist, who then fortunately again had that a more holistic view and a curiosity. That was the other thing. You really need to work with somebody who's curious, who doesn't just take the first answer and say, you know, shrugs shoulders and walks away, right? You know, right, exactly. Well, you're getting to
Right.
that age. I mean, and I
Oh
can trace it,
no.
and I can trace it back all the way. I remember visiting an OBGYN. I was 35. I had, you know, granted, I had three children, you know, at that point. And I was mentioning some symptoms, which no doubt were the beginning of this adrenal crisis. And he said to me, well, he didn't call me hun, but he it was implied, you know,
Oh no, come on.
women start going through perimenopause early. So, and depression can be a part of this. So why don't we talk about meds for depression? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, at 35, you're telling me that these symptoms that I'm telling you are A, depression, and B, perimenopause. I don't think so. You know, I mean, I was having changes in my cycle, but it was not perimenopause related. It was, you know, as it turns out, it was thyroid related, secondary to some adrenal issues going on. Right. So,
I mean, that's what I would agree with that. Just in my own practice, I'm like,
sure.
absolutely, those things are related to each other. And the symptoms, they look and feel and act like perimenopause. So I can understand somebody going, well, this is what you have. But why stop at the diagnosis? At 35, you should not be going through these symptoms at all. Shouldn't even be a thing.
Right,
So, what do you think was caused for you? I mean, the adrenal burnout isn't just something that shows up on your doorstep one
No, it's not. No. So my adrenal burnout came from, oh, how do I even want to start? It really it came from a worldview that I needed to be on the lookout for something else to go wrong. That was sort of the central piece of that. And I, one of the tools that I work with in my work with clients is something called soul language. And so soul language is just really quickly, it's a paradigm that puts language and tangibility to our souls. And one of my languages, and this is the skills and tools language, is called Huntress. And huntresses are all about being able to track and gather and receive. Huntresses have incredible amounts of energy, and if you give them something to track, they are going to track it down. So I have this, right, this piece of my personality, this piece of my soul that tells me to keep tracking something down. And the thing that I chose to track is what's wrong, or where might there be something
Interesting.
wrong, right? So when the economy's going bad, worrying that my husband was going to get laid off. Building a brand new business and not yet really being ready to shine, so kind of worrying about what other people were going to think. It was just a constant in my head. It was sort of that internal battle over and over and over again, and trying hard to outrun that worry with action. Not connection, you know, not slowing down, but just if I just run as fast as I can, if I can create as much as I can, I'll be able to outrun whatever this bad thing might be.
You're reminding me of something that my ex-husband used to do. He would say, "Well, if it don't fit, force it."
Yeah, right. Yeah, Exactly. And you know, the thing is, from the outside looking in, I've done a lot. You know, I raised three kids, I started a business, my husband did end up being unemployed, right? So there was a lot of action on my part, doing a lot of support in a lot of different ways, really supporting family, supporting myself, supporting, you know, everyone around me. I looked like I had it all together. And on the inside, you know, it's like that, whatever the ducks on the pond, right? You know, serene on top, paddling like hell underneath. Yes. That was my personality type. So that's what, yeah. I didn't give it any relief. I taught about stress and relaxation, and I didn't do what I needed to do to help my own body.
Well, I'm curious on that exact point, is that you're thinking, and I'm wondering, was it a feeling of, well, I'm invincible. I don't need to practice these things for myself because I've always had enough energy to get the things done. It's a person who's on the go, go, go all the time. Is that part of it?
So I don't know about the invincible part, okay. but on the other hand, you know, and I was doing some practicing. I was doing some meditating. I was doing some, you know, some of these things that would knock down the feeling in the moment. And yet on the inside, there was still that turmoil, right? I hadn't ever figured out why the turmoil was happening in the first place. And so it was more a necessity, right? I just had this part that just said, you just have to keep going. I learned about the doing and the doing and the doing. And I felt like if I just kept doing it, my answer would appear, my peace would eventually come to me.
Is that similar to what I'm hearing? It sounds like I'll be happy when this happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Like it's okay to be miserable because in the end, everything will be fine. Right. It's,
yeah. Right.
You know, it's sort of the, you know, work your 65 years and then you can retire and be happy. Like, I don't buy into that anymore.
Oh, good. That was my next question. I'm like, do you still think that way?
No, absolutely. 1000% no. No, it's all about the now. Right. No matter what, it's about the now.
There's a great question. I found in one of the groups, maybe the Coaching Jungle on Facebook, and they says, you know, should we focus on the, you know, our happiness that we are going to achieve, which is kind of like the wait until you get that thing and then you'll be happy. Should we focus on that as the guiding light and deal with whatever misery and trouble comes up along the way? Or should we seek for the path of least resistance in the joy of the journey and not be so tied to the outcome? And I was really amazed by the responses. So what say you?
So I say that it's a little bit of a mix of both. And here's why I say that. I'm not trying to get out of the answering the question, but I think that it's very much about present moment, really enjoying what's coming. I think that as human beings, we're constantly expanding. There's always going to be one next thing and one next thing and one next thing. And so if we can enjoy where we are now for the sake of enjoyment and always, but also understand that there's something new that we're going to be wanting expanding into later. And that expansion process is joyful. And one other caveat is enjoy the journey, enjoy where you are in that journey now for the sake of enjoyment, not because you could lose it tomorrow, but simply because you're loving it now. If we're loving it now because we're worried we're going to lose it later, we're focused on losing it later, right? We're still activating the negative, what we don't want. And that is very painful to our bodies, our minds, our souls, and our ability to receive and create.
Are you sure you didn't read my answer and just like expand on it?
I cheated. Yeah, no.
No, as soon as you said a little bit of both, I'm like, ah, yes, that's exactly. I'm sorry for anybody listening to that got loud. It was exactly how I felt. And like, it's a little bit of both worlds. It's not about being tied to the outcome. So I'm wondering how much of this whole conversation kind of ties into the soul language, and especially because you specialize in money, right?
I do. I really do. I help people create what they want. I started out in the fertility world and helping women who have been diagnosed with infertility create babies. And now I focus in the money world. And, you know, let's just take what we were just talking about and apply it to money, right? We've been taught that you should focus on retirement, right? Like you need X number of millions of dollars is what they say now. And it can be very hard to be in the present moment because you're always thinking about what is it that I should be doing so that I can get over there, right? Again, I'm gonna get to retirement and I can have this great money and I can be really I can be really happy then. And but you know, present moment, it makes that very fearful, right? Like I'm not doing enough, I'm not being enough.
Yes.
And at the same time, we're taught that we need to do our books, right? We need to know what's going on in the books. So it's this blend of being able to have your eye on where you are and where you're going and enjoy it while you have some understanding of the money that you currently have.
Because that can be, I mean, it's a very similar parallel story, isn't it? It's like going to the emergency room is like doing your books. You want to know the what isness, what is going on? What is the state of the union? What's going on with your business? What's going on with your money? But it can be very scary while you're waiting. And then, but you know, the goal is to be healthy in our business and in our money. And I'm seeing the parallel. I'm weird that way. I see the parallel in both of these stories. So I'm wondering, you know, when it comes to the stress management, what kind of give us more around the language, soul language, and how that ties into creating this space of feeling healthy with your money.
Absolutely. So, okay. The thing that we tend to do with money is we tend to fill holes, right? So if, you know, thinking about my personality, about the huntress, you know, and tracking that, something's going to be wrong. One of the things that we do is we say, okay, if I just have enough money in the bank, then I can feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. That we do that. Or, wow, I don't feel like I'm enough, but oh, I have X number of dollars in the bank. So that must mean that I'm enough. I've obviously proven myself worthy. Again, that's a hole that we're filling. And it's a little bit like, you know, me, okay, so I have these, I'm working really hard, pushing, doing, and I'll do a meditation every once in a while, right? What we need to do with this healthy part of our money is to realize that our safety comes from someplace else. Our safety comes from our connection with the divine. Divine, God, goddess, universe, nature, tree, whatever it is that you, right, whatever you call that which is bigger than yourself, that's where our true safety comes in. Now, as we connect with the divine and get to know ourselves as that unique strand of the divine, it gets a little bit nebulous. Like, what does that really mean? And one of the things that I love about soul language is that it gives us this vocabulary. It gives us some tangibility to who we are as that unique soul. And as we know who we are, we begin to get clues as to when we really are connected in with the divine and when we're not. So for example, with my huntress, right? Mm-hmm. When I am connected, I know when to act and I know when to pause. And if I'm disconnected, I'm just going all the time. So it's, and when I connect, I can, one of the things you can do with soul language is because these are parts of our soul, we literally can talk to them. We literally can have conversations. It's like having a conversation with a piece of the divine. So we begin to get all of this information about how things really are, what truth with a capital T really is. And as we settle into that, our body starts to relax. And when we do that, we begin to understand how we're using money inefficiently, how we have set up our relationship with money in such a way that whether we can see whether we've done it in a really conscious way or not. The unconscious way of being in relationship with money is to say, oh, money has all the power. right? Like, or God has all the power. Well, I just have to prove to God how much I'm worth, and then, you know, I'll be able to receive. Or, you know, we put money in the in power by saying I need X, you know, thousands of dollars to be safe. But we're really the ones who are in charge of that. And so when we are able to connect in both with our personal soul languages, and then we also actually have additional languages, additional energies that we brought in to support us with money, we can be really aware of how we're leading this relationship. And when we put ourselves in charge, when we take over that driver's seat in connection with the divine, wow, things just flower and unfold in amazing ways.
And I would imagine that not making money decisions from a place of fear and stress could be beneficial.
Yeah.
Just guessing here.
You know, you picked up on that. you're so right. You're so right, because we do tend to make money decisions out of a place of fear. Yeah. Like there isn't going to be enough, or, you know, and I even caught myself the other day in it. It's just, it's almost like human second nature, and it's so pervasive in our culture. And I caught myself, I have a brand new goal, which is stretching me. And I found myself in a little bit of fear. I said, okay, stop, take a breath, connect, and it, feel it there. Yes, it might be one or two rings out from where you are, but thinking about it from that place of fear pushes it away, right? So when you can be in that connected place, now I know I can be inspired into whatever the next action steps are going to get me exactly where I want to go.
I like all of this. You know, I'm into the metaphysics and understanding the hermetic law and all of these things that resonate with me. I love that. And that's been part of my healing journey. And I'm curious if going through the process of that very terrifying moment of being in the hospital going, I have this terrible pain, I don't know what's wrong with me. Did this enhance your whole business in the soul language world?
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. And you know what? The health crisis was also interwoven with a personal financial crisis, which was bankruptcy.
Okay.
So I obviously wasn't listening. The divine said, let's hit you with 2 2x4s, you know? And I couldn't be more grateful for both of them. I say that my tongue is not in my cheek or anything. I am absolutely sincere in saying I am deeply grateful for both of those crises, because it helped me to wake up. It helped me to ask new questions and to look for answers in different places.
Which is the empowerment of being able to make those decisions on your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Right. Because we give ourselves over to medicine. The same way we give ourselves over to money, we give ourselves over to medicine and saying, oh, doctor, you are going to know. And sometimes we really need that.
Yes.
But we have to be the central character in our own healing journey, right? So,
yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely grateful. Absolutely grateful.
And that's a beautiful message. So I want to know, for the listeners, is there anything that you want to share with those who are our audience today?
So wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to just pause and take a breath and ask, what is my soul trying to help me see here? And to know that as the immediate crisis abates, answers will be coming. And when we frame it from that position of what is my soul asking for, it becomes a gift rather than a stocking full of coal, right? We really feel like the world is against us, and it's nothing that we've asked for. We've done nothing wrong. It's a puzzle that is going to help you expand into that next level.
That's a beautiful place to learn more about who you are. So I'm thinking, for those who are listening going, well, I can ask the question, but maybe I need some help with hearing and deciphering the answer. How can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So I am available at my website, which is jenniferbloom.com, and Bloom has an E at the end of it.
Oh, that's really good to know. Yes, Jennifer Bloom with an E.
Yes.
And we're going to have that website there in the show notes page. I want to say thank you so much. And one final question, because I ask everyone, I think I know the answer, but you know, we're going to ask it anyway. What do you feel is the most important thing to remember when searching for answers?
To remember that you're already whole and complete. And that when you ask that question, when you look for your answer from that space, you are going to get a very, you're going to be directed in a way that is going to lead you to where you need to go.
Oh, see, I didn't know the answer. That was good. Well, this has been so much fun and enjoyable. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me. It was delightful to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. And thank you all of you out there listening in for being the audience for today's guest, Jennifer Bloom, on When Doctors Say We Don't Know. This has been an engaging conversation, and I'm hopeful those of you listening will hear that message of hope so you too can turn your experience of pain into triumph. If you're driving and can't click on the links right now, remember you can always hop on to theelevateinstitute.com and follow the podcast links for today's show, also available on iTunes. There's more to talk about. Tune in next week for our episode of When Doctors Say We Don't Know. This is Eva Venari reminding you to question everything.